Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. As we come to you this week, we are so excited about the study. We are looking at Prayer and Spiritual Warfare by Dr. Charles Spurgeon. The first book talks about the power of prayer, and that's where we are tonight. We are working with his first book, and Dr. Spurgeon is so deep, it's going to take a lot longer than I actually anticipated in order to process and to go through everything that to get the full meaning out of his book. And so as we go through this process this week, we're going to take our time and chew on these wonderful morsels as we go through the scripture and are reminded of the power of prayer. As we start off, as we always do, we'll start off with prayer, and we'll go to song. And after we have a song, we will again have scripture. After scripture, we will have intercessory prayer, and then begin the Bible study. So God's blessings be with you if you join us. And as always, we are so excited to have you with us. Come with me now in prayer. To give us a delight, I thought I would read one of Dr. Spurgeon's prayers that I found, and it was very, very, very enlightening. So I'm going to start off by reading one of Dr. Spurgeon's prayers. O thou who art King of kings and Lord of lords, we come to worship thee. Behold, before Jehovah's awful throne, we bow with sacred joy. We can truly say that we delight in God. There was a time when we feared thee, O God, with the fear of bondage. Now we reverence, but we love and we reverence. The thought of thine omnipresence was once horrible to us. We said, whether shall we flee from his presence? And it seemed to make hell itself more dreadful, because we heard a voice. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. But now, O Lord, we desire to find thee. Our longing is to feel thy presence, and it is the heaven of heavens that thou art there. The sick bed is soft when thou art there. The furnace of affliction grows cool when thou art there. And the house of prayer, when thou art present, is none other than the house of God. And it is the very gate of heaven. Come near, our Father. Come very near to thy children. Some of us are very weak in body and faint in heart. Soon, O God, lay thy right hand upon us and say unto us, fear not. And say unto us, fear not. I lost my place, sorry. I was enjoying that. And say unto us, fear not. Peradventure, some of us are alike, and the world is attracting us. Come near to kill the influence of the world with thy superior power. Even to worship may not seem easy to some. The dragon seems to pursue them, and floods out his mouth wash away their devotion. Give to them great wings as of an eagle, that each one may fly away into the place prepared for him, and rest in the presence of God today. Our Father, come and rest thy children now. Take the helmet from our brow. Remove from us the weight of our heavy armor for a while. And may we have peace, perfect peace, and be at rest. Oh, help us, we pray thee now. as thou hast already washed thy people in the fountain filled with blood, and they are clean. Now this evening, wash us from defilement in the water, while the basin and with the ewer, O Master, wash our feet again. It will greatly refresh. It will prepare us for our innermost fellowship with thee, thyself. Amen. Lord, as we come before you, you heard the words of Spurgeon. You've heard the words that call us to you. Tonight we ask, O God, that we hear these words, that we learn that we have to come with a reverence sitting at your feet. That as we come, O God, we are open to the Spirit. We're asking for a revelation to not only hear the word, but to feel the word and to live the word. We are praising you this evening as we struggle, as we wrestle with your word. We ask these blessings now in the matchless name of Jesus. Let us all say, amen.
Amen.
Scripture
from the book of Job in the New Living Translation, Job 23:3-4. If only I knew where to find God, I would go to his court. I would lay out my case and present my arguments. This is the word of the Lord, and the people said amen.
Amen. Amen. We'll have a song by Yolanda Adams. Thank you. Amen. Amen. It's now time for intercessory prayer, Bishop.
Yes, are there any
others on the line?
Anybody else on the line?
Can we get a roll call? Yeah, so that we can find out who's here. That'll help.
This is Margaret in Tampa. Good evening, Dr. Susie and Bishop Michael.
Good evening, Margaret.
So glad to hear you and know you well, Margaret in Tampa.
Well, thank you. I was just delayed getting online, speaking with my daughter, and she's having still marital discord. And
we will lift her up in prayer.
And it's a spiritual thing, and she feels like she's not in love anymore, and two small children. And my mother and my husband and I have all been trying to intercede on her behalf and to try to bring up the thought of the children. They're not even 2 years old. And so I also would ask for prayer for the people in Japan, even throughout the world, as we've had these kind of military actions taking place and nuclear threats going on, Florida and the surrounding areas who've suffered such great losses, even of lives and property. Lord, I just thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Is there anybody else that has any prayer requests? Let's do a roll call. This is Bishop Michael in Tulsa.
Margaret in Tampa.
Amen.
Jerry in Maine.
Hi,
hey,
Jerry.
Hi, guys.
Good to hear your voice, brother.
You guys, too.
Amen.
Are there any more prayer requests? Hi, Dr. Susie.
This is Dr. Susie. I really would like to offer a praise report. In spite of some challenges that I had in obtaining my certification, a day ago I received, or a couple of days ago, that my certification I have received, and I am now secondary certified, and which means I have specialty experience, expertise in hospice palliative care, and I also have it in suicide prevention. So we praise God
praise
for that.
God.
And we will trust him and walk in all that he provides, all that God provides.
Amen.
Amen. And so that's the praise report. I ask that you would continue lifting me up regarding my job at work and my family.
Amen.
Please.
Amen. Is there anybody else?
This is Jerry from Maine, and
I
have
Jerry.
A prayer request. If I could get some prayer for myself, for anybody that don't know, I have a neurological disease. I have multiple sclerosis, and that's kind of what landed me in the veterans home here is 2 years ago, I had 2.5 years ago, that's where I met Pastor Susie at the VA hospital, and I had a relapse, and I just haven't been home since. I've had to stay in the hospital, and now I'm in the VA home here, Maine Veterans Home, and they're kind of helping take care of me. And I'm just asking for some prayer on my MS not progressing too fast. It's a progressive disease, and lately it just seems like everything that I can still do is just getting harder on the things I still can do. And I just ask for prayer that God will continue to bless me with what I can do, but don't let the disease progress too much further. If I could get that, that would be great.
Yes, yes, yes. Amen, amen. We touch and agree with you.
Thank
Are there
you.
Any other prayer requests?
So,
amen.
I'd like to interject something right here. It's kind of like a teachable moment, if you don't mind. It's Dr. Susie. You know, Jerry, one of the things that we're trying to learn as we listen to Dr. Spurgeon teach us about prayer, he says specifically that as we come, we have to be real intentional about letting it be God's will. And God, if we have desire for healing, then we call on the elders. So we're doing that very thing. It also says that when and while we call on God, we trust God for what we're asking for. So when we're asking this, Jerry and the rest of us, we have to believe that God's going to come through.
Amen.
So part of this is also understanding and acknowledging and believing and walking in what it is we're asking for. Then we have to be fervent with it, accepting and with humility that what we're asking, I think it was Martin Luther that said, I was just studying that a minute ago. He said, I will have my will, for I know my will is thy will. So we have to remember that when we are praying, we pray that it is God's will that is matched with our will. And we believe
Amen.
That. That's why we're asking it. So as we go through these prayers that we're requesting, you know, me, you, all of us, you know, we want to thank God. We want to magnify the Lord. We want to glorify him and knowing
Amen.
That what we're asking for, we believe him for it.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you all for giving me that permission to
Thank
share.
You, Dr. Susie.
Amen. Are there any other prayer requests? Well, let's go to the Lord. Lord, we bless you. We glorify you. We exalt you. We extol you. We adore you. We love you. We bless your holy name.
Amen.
We praise you
yes.
for this opportunity to come into your throne room. It is a bold act to come into your throne room, Lord, and we're not trying to be bold. We're not trying to be braggadocious. We're not trying to be anything but your creation, and we recognize the boldness that it takes to come to your throne to obtain mercy, Lord. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. We give you our adoration, our love, our devotion, Lord. We praise and glorify you and bless you. Lord, we thank you for who you are in our lives. We thank you that you are our God and we are your children. We bless you. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that washes us and cleanses us and makes us whole. We ask for anything that is not like us, like you, Lord, please forgive us and take it away from us in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, we lift up Margaret's daughter and that marriage. Lord, you know the situation. And precious Holy Spirit,
Sophia,
we pray that you would intervene on that behalf, Lord. We
yes,
lift
Lord.
Up those babies before you right now.
Thank
in
you,
the mighty name Amen. Of Jesus. 1,000 shall fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand,
Preach.
But it
Preach.
Shall not come
yes,
near
Lord.
Them, Lord God. In the
thank
name
you,
of
Lord.
Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, I thank you for talking to them separately, the husband and the wife. Minister to
yes,
them
Lord.
Right now in the name
thank
of
you,
Jesus.
Lord.
And God, bring them together and minister to
yes,
them
Lord.
Both, oh God, in the name that is above every name. Every name, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Amen.
Lord, you're able to, Lord, you're able to raise the dead. Huh, glory to God.
Mm. Yes,
and
Lord,
Lord, even if they have declared death on this marriage, I call resurrection power alive
yes, Lord.
In that
thank
marriage,
you, Lord.
Lord God. You're able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we can ask or even think. Lord, I thank you for using Margaret in this situation. Lord, give her the wisdom. Give her the knowledge. Give her the words, God. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you that it is so. Where two on earth agree is touching any one thing, it shall be done of our Father which is in heaven. Lord, I thank you for my friend, Dr. Susie, for this this glorious praise report of obtaining her certification. Thank you for the hard work that she has put in. Thank you for the long hours that she's put in. And, Lord, you rewarded her. Lord, we shall reap a harvest of blessing if we don't get tired, if we faint not. And she put in the time. She put in the study, and you've rewarded her, Lord God. Lord, we thank you that you have a hedge of protection around Dr. Susie and her assignment there at the place of her employee, God. You are able to do it. Not only are you able, but you're willing to keep her secure in that job. And, Lord, we lift up Sydney. We lift up James Sr. We lift up James Jr. Lord, bless them, I pray, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Lord, I thank you for Jerry, our brother in Maine, God. We thank you, Lord, that first of all, we pray for this MS that you would arrest it now in the name of Jesus. There is nothing too hard for you. Lord, your servant James asked, is there any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Pray the prayer of faith. Lord, we lay our hands on Jerry by faith right now. We arrest you, multiple sclerosis, in the mighty name of Jesus, and we command you to stop, slow down in Jesus' name. We arrest you. And God, while Jerry is there, glory to God, while he is there in Maine, Lord, continue to use him. I pray a double portion of the anointing on Jerry, that he would continue to be able to witness and be able to minister and to be able to be a source of encouragement and uplift. When people see Jerry, let them see you, glory to God. Let them feel the presence of Almighty God when Jerry comes in, God, in Jesus' name. Let demons tremble when Jerry comes in, God. Lord, we lift up our brothers and sisters around the world, God, even in Japan, where that threat, where there's saber rattling all over the world, from Russia to North Korea. Lord God, we arrest it right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. God, we pray for the church in Japan. We pray for the church in Russia. We pray for the church in Africa. We pray for the church in Europe. We pray for the church in America. We pray for the church all over the world, in Arabia. God, you're able to send revival for the church united, oh God. We pray for the persecuted church over there in Afghanistan, over there in Saudi Arabia, in places where the gospel is not free to flow. God, we pray for every church leader, God, that is honoring your name, God, that is honoring your call, that is honoring your words, God. We pray for every last one of them, to give them a harvest. Send laborers to their portion of the vineyard, because there is a harvest that is ripe, it's rottening, and we need laborers to go into that portion of the vineyard, God. We pray for the leaders of every nation, God, even those, especially those that don't know you, God. And God, we pray that a revival would come through their nation like never before, that would cause men and women to come crying, what must I do to be saved? And God, we lift up our babies, our youngsters. Those that have been, that the enemy has been trying to kill, steal, and destroy with drugs, with deception, with wrong ideas, ungodly ideas. Some of them have been treading on Satan's territory. Lord, we put up a hedge right now in the name of Jesus. We draw up, we draw a bloodline around them. Protect them, Lord God.
Yes,
send angels to minister to them. Send angels to arrest them. Send angels to protect them. Send angels that will keep them and take them to their destiny that you have for them, and they will not be thwarted. they will not be deterred or detoured from the purpose that you have for them. We ask these and many other blessings in the mighty name of Jesus. We bless you and glorify you, and we praise you, and we thank you that it is so. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you, God.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Bishop. That was awesome.
Now. We can go home now.
It's Margaret. I just had one more request, Bishop. And you were on such a roll, I didn't want to interrupt you. But it's the eve of Yom Kippur today. And
yes,
I have it
yes,
on my
it
heart.
Is,
the
right.
Lord put it on my heart this morning early that I'm a sinner and I need his mercy. And I want to confess that I need the Lord to forgive me, to bless me, and help me to be a good Christian and a good witness and to continue
Lord.
To learn and shine forth as a light. And I need the Lord's forgiveness.
I think that's all of our prayer.
Amen. That's what I was going to say. That's all
you.
Of us.
Thank you.
And I mean, those of you guys that are listening in those different countries, that's our prayer, and that's our prayer for you. That, Lord, we want to be better.
Yes, Lord.
We want to be better Christians, Lord. When people look at us, Lord, that they don't see us, they see you.
Thank you.
When they look at our actions, we are living epistles. We are the only Bibles that some people will ever read. And let them see the glory of God. Let our light shine before men. Glory to God. That they would see your good works and glorify God in heaven. We bless you. We glorify you. Lord, forgive us of every one of our sins. Blot out all of our transgressions.
Yes, Lord.
Cleanse us from every one of our iniquities, Lord God. We thank you for who you are in our lives. And, Lord, let our witness be bold. Let it be effective. And, Lord, help us to disciple, make disciples. Help us to make disciples. And to disciple them and bring them into a more perfect knowledge of you. Use each and every one of us, those that are in the listening audience and those that are on this panel. Use us, we pray. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. We bless you and we glorify you. And, Lord, we thank you now for them. We thank you for using us like never before. Our latter shall be greater than our former. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord God. Amen.
Amen. I wanted to, this is Dr. Susie. Bishop, you did an awesome job. I want to, Margaret, you brought up Yom Kippur. I wanted to read a little bit for our radio audience that's not aware of what it is. The question is, what is Yom Kippur? It's the Jewish, it's part of the Jewish High Holy Days. And make sure that, you know, when you are talking to other people, you don't say Happy Yom Kippur, because it's a sober commemoration. It's actually
Amen.
What Margaret was saying, in that this is a time when it focuses on repentance, asking for forgiveness for wrongs that may have been committed over the past year. You know, it's funny that you know, people, the Jewish people do this on, it's not funny, but what I was saying is that what's funny is that at the end of the year, when just before there's a new year, this is exactly what I do. I get on Facebook and any people that I talk to, and I ask them to forgive me for anything that I did through the year. And I ask them to forgive me so that I want to start anew with the new year. And this is their new year beginning, their holy year. So it's interesting that, you know, I didn't know that I was copying what they were doing, but it was what I felt God was having me to do, to renew and to start anew. So the Jewish teaching explains that anyone whose health is at risk, they should fast and should still eat and drink water. That on the calendar, it's primarily on the moon and the Gregorian calendar based on the sun. So that's how they came up with the day. It officially ends following the last blowing of the ram's horn or the shofar. And it's a really special time. And so we wanted to – I thank you, Margaret, for bringing that up so that we could honor the Jewish holiday.
Sure.
I also asked that as we look at this, there are people who are going to fast. I just want to say that, you know, whenever we are struggling with something on the Bible study, you know, if we choose to be intentional, then we too can come together and we can choose to fast together and we can pray together, just like Bishop was saying in the prayer. Whenever that we have a concern or a desire, what do? We go to the Lord in prayer and we go to the elders and we request prayer. And as we do that, we also go to the Lord and we fast and we seek God's face. So it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see what Dr. Spurgeon says about fasting. But we already have been clued in to the way the bishop wonderfully exemplified coming to the throne with humility, approaching God's self, with adoration and praise and humility, and then requesting that which each of you has submitted, each of us have submitted, and do it in such a way that we have contrite hearts, that we wrestle with it, because it's important that this happens, and it's important that we believe it, and it's important because we want God's will to be our will. We're actually pleading on this behalf, which is where I was going to go with the Bible study. I'm going to go back and look at that. Did anybody read the Bible study? Was anybody able to read the Bible study? Wonderful.
Yeah.
Were you able to read the – which one were you able to read? Because we're still going to talk – we're still – we didn't get through the one that we were working on.
Oh.
It's so much
there. I did chapter 4, but I did read through chapter 3 because I was late getting on last week.
Okay. So,
but I was poking at thing on last or on this week. So,
okay,
where are we starting from?
Again, you know, we can just jump through the information, but again, I'm going to go through it and remind us of what we did, and then I'm going to touch on what we didn't touch on. So, Jerry, do you have a book?
I do, yes.
At this point. Okay.
I do.
Is there anybody who does not have a book? If you find that there's somebody in the study that doesn't have a book, we need to figure out, and I'll figure out how to get them the material. And Bishop read Job 23. Is that the text that you read, Bishop 23?
Yes, ma'am.
And so this is talking about order and argument and prayer. So what does that mean, those of you who've already remembered the part that we did last week? What does it mean when he says order and argument in prayer? What's he talking about, for those of you who were able to read?
Well, Dr. Susie, I think with the way that these words, and as a matter of fact, one of the points he brings up is, you know, it's almost like a legal situation. you know, that you'll hear a judge say, order in the court. There's an order that we come and approach God's throne. There is an order that we have to, we just can't come any kind of way. Any attorney that comes before any court and he's not ready, that judge is going to send that attorney out till that attorney is ready. You just can't come any kind of way. As a matter of fact, you should not dress any kind of way when you come into the courtroom. So the order and when he's talking about presenting my arguments, that's what attorneys do. Attorneys present argument before the court. And I like how, you know, Job says it, you know, and Job had some serious issues that were going on. Job says, if I could find out where God is, that says to me he's seeking God. He's
there you go.
If I can find him, I'm going to lay down my arguments before him. And that is so juxtaposed. Yes, Dr. Susan.
No, I'm just saying. So that's fundamental. That's the fundamental point, is that we have to rearrange or change sort of how we come before the Lord. So Jerry, Margaret, do you find yourself? I'm going to confess that I was just raised that I get on my knees and I do the Lord's Prayer, and I ask God for what I want. Does anybody else, was anybody else raised differently?
Well, that's pretty much the same for me as well. But I've taken this is Margaret, I've taken an interest in prayer it's been decades now, and wanted to learn more about it. So I studied it, and thing about going into your own prayer closet, being alone or praying at night when you have no sound, you don't have music or any sound going on, you're just focused on the Lord completely and speaking to him and hearing his voice. And sometimes I do hear the still, quiet voice of God, I believe.
Amen.
And his answers are always true.
Amen. And so what makes the depth of that prayer time is your relationship with God. Relationship developed, study of God's word, and having it immersed in your life. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So you can't just you can't just not have said that you belong to the Lord and then go pray and expect to understand that you're going to have God's will, because you don't know God's will if you haven't read God's will, what God tells you his will is. God's or her will. God's will is. So the people who say, oh, I haven't read my Bible in years, but I still talk to God.
Oops.
You know, I'm like, so what you saying other than hi?
Amen.
You know, because, you know, you don't know who you're talking to. So I'm trying to go in depth so that we understand that when we come to this prayer time, this is not just so that we can hear Spurgeon's word, but it's to bring to the table all that we know, Margaret, all of those years of study, Margaret, all of the things that God is saying, that's to come to the table as we dialogue about Spurgeon so we all expand our knowledge and relationship with the Most High.
Dr. Susie.
Yes, ma'am.
I was just going to say, but Spurgeon introduces a concept that seems quite revolutionary to me, and that I'm grasping when he continues to bring up throughout chapter 3 the argument in prayer. And I know that reading Job, I sometimes thought, well, Job is being, I understand he's really at his wit's end and he's suffered a lot and lost everything and he might be angry with God, but he isn't exactly reverent all the time. And on the argument with God in a way that I have never encountered before. Spurgeon,
you know,
is bringing
I see
it up through different verses.
But I, you know, it, I think what Spurgeon is trying to ask us to do is understand when we come who we are and who we are. So, yes, Job is an example. Job, like mm-hmm. you say, is not always reverent, but Spurgeon says we should be because we need to remember who we are. And the Bible in Job reminds us, Wait a minute, Job. Where were you when the winds were cast into the far corners of the earth? Come on, baby.
Yeah.
So Job is allowed to say and be who he is authentically. But don't get it twisted.
I think also we know that Job was a righteous man. The Lord listened to him.
And God will listen to us. And the issue is that it's okay to be who you are. I don't think God wants inauthenticity. But I think in the end, we have to understand, as Spurgeon says, when we come to the table, we have to have God's voice, the voice of Jesus, coming along with that prayer to intercede on our behalf. Because who we are is filthy rags before the Lord.
Amen.
And we have to remember that it is by the grace and the mercy of God that we even have an audience.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, when we, Dr. Susie, this is Bishop Michael in Tulsa. When we look at the backdrop, you know, when, you know, Satan comes before the Lord along with the angels of God. And he said, I've been looking for somebody that I can mess with. And he said, Have you considered my servant Job? And now, isn't it interesting that when he lost all this stuff, he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He didn't know that it was Satan that was doing this. So from that backdrop,
and how often? Bishop, how often do we want to blame God?
Yes.
When something goes wrong, God took my child. I'm through with the Lord. God, that just happened. Mm-hmm. I ain't talking to God no more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Come on, Bishop. Yeah. That's a perfect.
And so he,
that's a perfect, perfect point.
Because we can look at, you know, our outward circumstance and say, you know, God, how could you let this happen to me? And that's basically the irreverence right there. I fasted, I prayed, I gave offerings, and still my kids are gone. My cattle are gone. My camel are gone.
Well,
how could you let this happen? That's his argument.
And
look, the authenticity. Job was being real, but you know what he didn't do? He didn't curse. Hmm. He didn't curse God.
No,
he just
he
said,
didn't.
God.
But he was real.
Why?
And that's what I respect, is that when we come before the Lord don't want us to pretend. If you hurting, you need to let him know. You need to let God know. Lord, I'm hurting.
Yes.
Lord, I lost my children. Lord, I'm hurting. I lost my cattle. Lord, I'm hurting. Everything seems like was taken away, Lord. Lord, I'm hurting. But I'm coming to you, oh God. I'm not running away. And that's why David was in his own heart, even though he sinned and fell short. Whenever he messed up, whenever something wasn't right, who did he go to?
Yes.
The Lord.
He ran to God.
And that's what we have to do. We have to go back to the Lord. So, can somebody pull up Isaiah 41:21 and kind of read it before you read it out loud, because I'm going to talk a little bit, because
okay.
we want the whole
Isaiah.
Context, because we're talking Isaiah 41:21. That was one of the
okay.
texts, one of the scriptures. And we're talking about how we fill our mouth with arguments. But, you know, this piece is that when we're praying, y'all know that the prayers are not for God, right?
Hello.
We know somebody, come on, that what mm-hmm. we're praying is not for God. That's why we need the argument. Why do we need the argument, Jerry? Because when we're pleading, we have to believe and to know, right, that we have the value of mercy. And we understand that the importance of what we're seeking is attached to it, and we're pleading to God, right?
Right.
So God yeah. doesn't need it. We're the ones that need it.
Yeah.
So we got to recognize this prayer as being a real authentic conversation with the invisible, almighty, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God. And that should remind us of the text that we read in Isaiah 6. Wasn't it Isaiah 6 when he talks about the throne, the train of the Lord filled the temple?
Yes, 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 yes. The train
so
of his
that,
robe.
Yes, the train of the Lord's robe
the
filled the temple. So,
yes.
again, here we are seeing the significance and the magnification just to make it visible of God. And that was just so, that was for the benefit of Isaiah. Because God bigger than that.
Hallelujah.
So are you guys following? Are we there together?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So my question is, when you hear that little bit and you apply it to your circumstance and your situation, what does it speak to you, Jerry? What speaks to you, Margaret, in the midst of the situations that we're praying for? How does that speak to you and your situation?
Well, there's the most important thought that I am praying to Almighty God, who has the power to grant the request.
Well, amen.
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 And when we pray with that request, we are praying with a sense of fervency, a sense of urgency, right?
Yes, yes.
Resolving
yes.
to obtain it, Jerry and Margaret. We're not throwing it out there because we don't expect it to happen. We're putting it out there because we plan to obtain this thing by prayer. We are going to
Amen.
The Lord, and we are then going to completely submit. What does that mean?
Replicate our will to God.
Tell it, Margaret. Come on, what does that mean to subjugate our will? Break it on down so people understand out there listening.
God's will, not ours, be done.
Yes.
Focus
yes.
on his will, although we can't understand
yes.
it fully, but let
but we can
put
believe.
Our will, our needs below his.
Believing. It's like a child when you were a child and you went to your parent and you said, Lord, you said, Mama, I want some of that apple pie that you made. Now, when you went, you were expecting to get a piece of the pie.
Yeah.
Now, she might have said, she might have been thinking, well, you know, you didn't eat your dinner. You really don't deserve this pie. Or you got a tummy ache and you haven't been feeling well, so it's not a good thing for you to have a pie right now. I mean, the idea of what I'm trying to get us to see is that our God loves us just like our earthly parents are, even more, but similarly we can see the analogy between that and our earthly parents having to examine what it is that we're requesting, knowing that God knew what we were going to ask for even before we asked for it, right? We do know that.
Yes.
And knowing that God already had a decision made on whether you were going to give it or not. But the reason we have to understand that we're asking is not because we don't think God already knows it, but we're asking because of what? We need to have the argument in place.
Amen.
So that when we come before the Lord, we're doing it decently in order for our own behalf.
Amen.
When we plead,
amen,
when we wrestle, what does that do for us?
This is Jerry.
I'm going to tell y'all something. Go ahead, Jerry. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say you were talking about, you know, that bringing, like, my disease up to prayer for God. It just makes me, it definitely gives me a sense of calmness knowing that I bring it to God. I'm going to the high mighty. I don't have nothing to worry about because he's going to do his will, whether it's what I might not want or whatever. It's at least going to him. And I just think it's great and gives me a calm about it, to be able to bring it up in prayer.
Dr. Susie, when we're wrestling, you know, the thing is, in a real wrestling match, we don't know whether or not our opponent, how strong they are or whatever, but we're not backing down. When we come and we're wrestling with God, not that he's our opponent, but we're like, look here, I'm pleading my case. And we do have a listening ear. So what it does,
amen,
it gives us some confidence that, yeah, at least somebody listening to me.
Right.
And it gives us a hope, right, that and we're talking to the one. We're wrestling with the one who has the solution.
Yes.
A lot of times I've heard rules like, you don't pray the problem, you pray the solution. Well, okay. And sometimes we got to say the problem so we can hear it ourselves. Hello. We got to say
the problem.
That's the
whole reason for the prayer is for us. God already knows.
He knows.
So
we know. So what it does, it gives us revelation when we're wrestling too. Come on.
Yes.
Amen.
So read Genesis 32:26, Bishop. But Margaret, did you ever get the Isaiah 41 passage?
41:21. 41:21 reads, "Set forth your case, says the Lord. Bring your proofs, says the King of Jacob."
So God even asked us to do that, right? And see, I never knew that. I knew that my parents taught me to pray. I know what the Lord's Prayer says. But if we study prayer, we learn things like this, that he says, bring forth our strong reasons, showing that we feel the value of mercy, right? And we're attaching importance to what it is that we're seeking. We need to know that we're not haphazardly coming before the Most High, but that we are pleading with something that is urgent for us, and that we are willing to wrangle and wrestle and be broken as we do so before the Lord. Does that make sense?
Yes. What was it, Genesis?
So Bishop,
what?
32:26.
32:26, okay. Genesis 32:26.
So if you could read the whole context about the angel.
Genesis 30, okay.
So what verse would we want to start with? Okay.
You have to read it in Hebrew.
Yes, ma'am. So during the night, Jacob got up, took two wives, his two servants' wives, and 11 sons, crossed over to the Jabbok. After taking them over to the other side, he sent over all his possessions. This left Jacob alone in camp, and a man came and wrestled with him until the dawn began to break. When the man saw that he would not win the match, he touched Jacob's hip, and it wrenched it out of socket. Then the man said, "Let me go, for dawn is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." "What is your name?" the man asked. He replied, "Jacob. Your name will no longer be called trickster, supplanter, heel grabber," the man told him. "From now on, you will be called Israel, because you have fought with God and with men and have won. Please tell me your name," Jacob said. "Why do you want to know my name?" the man replied. Then he blessed Jacob there. Jacob named the place Peniel, which means face of God. For he said, "I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been spared." The sun was rising as Jacob left Peniel, and he was limping because of the injury to his hip. Even today, the people of Israel don't eat the tendon near the hip socket because of what happened that night when the man strained the tendon of Jacob's hip. Amen.
When we are sure what we ask for is God's glory, we have power in prayer. "I will not let thee go." We have power in prayer. We have to know that we know that we know. Come on, y'all. Come on. That relationship, that trust in, that believe in, that struggle, that wrestle, and not let go. You stay there until you get an answer. The answer may be no sometimes, but you do not stop praying and interceding and asking and questioning and trusting and believing God for the answer.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. There are people that have wrestled and believe God. I have a friend that I went to eighth grade with, and she's been a friend till this day, fought cancer for over 13 years. She wrestled and wrestled. Nanette is cancer-free today.
Praise God.
Amen. Amen.
Kept that argument before the Lord. Yes, she did. And the doctors said, "You have 30 days to live." Nanette said, calmly, "No." "No." Nanette is still here today. Praise God.
Praise God.
Amen.
She presented her case. She presented her argument.
Before the Lord. Hallelujah.
Before the Lord. Glory to God. My little old short 4'11" mama. I don't know where the other 2 inches came from. She fought cancer. It looked bleak. It looked bleak. I thought I was going to lose my mama. But mama's been cancer free for over 15 years.
Amen.
Praise God. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we can even ask or think. We serve a prayer answering God. We serve the prayer answering God.
Come on.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So when we come in prayer, so, you know, we have to remember, contrary to what we used to think, I'm talking about me. If y'all thought prayer was not easy before, I used to think it was easy. All I had to do was start talking to God. But there's more to it as we mature And maybe what needs to be clarified is that as one matures in one's relationship with God, so does one's prayer.
Amen.
So when you are babes, this is Revelation. Babes, you might tell God anything that comes off your head because you're starting to talk to God and you're learning. And I would think that God would be gracious and be patient with you because God sees you as a child. As you grow, I think God expects more of you. Now, I ain't read none of this. This is what I'm getting from the study. This is what's coming mm-hmm. to me from the Word of God as we study it. That as we mature, there is a different expectation. Paul talks about it. He says, when I was a child, I did this childish things. But mm-hmm. as I became a man, I started to see it differently.
Put away childish things. Yes.
And I saw and started acting differently. So what I'm saying to us is, as novice, yes, God loves us and excited about us learning to preach, I mean to pray to God, to talk to God, to walk with God. God is ecstatic about that. And can
Amen.
You imagine as we grow and we have camel knees, meaning like old camel knee John, we stayed on our knees so much that as we mature and that appreciation and reverence, come on somebody, for who he mm-hmm. is and the full understanding of what he does and has done, come on.
Amen.
That he would mm-hmm. save my child. Well
yes.
done. Not I who speaks, but Christ who speaks with me.
Yes.
Christ who speaks with me. Christ who speaks with me. I'm pleading. Christ's wounds, I'm pleading. Christ's life, I'm pleading. Christ's death, Christ's blood, Christ's self. That goes before me, is in front of me every time I begin to open my mouth and ask. Because then I begin to ask the question, am I asking for the right thing? Huh? What you talking about?
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's what I'm asking for, that which is within God's will that he's taught me to ask for. Or am I asking for something that's outside of the character that I know God is going to award? And that comes because I've read the Word. I've studied. I've searched. I sought him. I'm growing. I've learned. Then Spurgeon says, you know, I'm not trying to dog anybody out. But we got these people who go, oh, holy, righteous, magnificent, wonderful. They ain't named God, nothing yet. They still praying and throwing out words, Lord, and they say Lord Jesus 50 times, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. Spurgeon says,
mm-hmm.
go direct to the point. Genesis 17:18. Can somebody read Genesis 17:18? Can you get that, Jerry? Genesis 17:18. You got it, Margaret?
I've got it. Let's see. Genesis chapter 17:18. And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. God said, no, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing we see in that is that he named the person he was praying for, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then he stated the blessing that he wanted to occur.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
So sometimes I wonder if we have even thought and prepared enough to really know what we want and we're not just talking and going around the bush.
Well, This is Margaret. I think this brings a whole new dimension to our prayer life, because if you're arguing with God, then he may reveal the reason why sometimes he doesn't answer your prayers. And okay. Yet the believer can continue to believe. It doesn't destroy our faith. Like a father, he explains sometimes if there's a reason why your prayer isn't answered. And one of the answers that I personally received was that in a while you will know.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to live with that, but I just thank God that he's given me the faith to live with those times when he answered prayer and when he didn't, and still continue to walk with him.
Amen.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Basically, when we're praying, we're supposed to go directly to the point of what it is we're asking. We're supposed to have thought it out. Because we know that we're going to the Most High God. We're not just, well, Lord, I'm thinking about it as I come. Excuse me, do you recognize that I've given you an audience?
Mm-hmm.
I am the Most High God. You know, I'm listening to 50 million, trillion prayers. And if you want yours to be answered, be succinct. Not saying that God is saying that.
Right,
I'm just throwing that in there, trying to get us to look at what succinct is supposed to be. And then we're not supposed to ask God for everything that we can think of. Lord, I want a house. I want a boat. I want a pond with some bass in it. But Spurgeon says, ask what you need right now.
Amen.
What do you all think about that?
Well, Dr. Susie, when I first became born again, it was in my early years in the Navy, I really wanted to learn how to pray. And, you know, I read several books. And some of the books were, you know, how to pray to get what you want. Basically, that's not the name of the book. But that was basically it, you know. And there were some things, you know, you believe that you receive it, nab it and grab it, name it and claim it, and all of that stuff. But it you know, as I began to grow up, I understood. And God, you know, when you first get saved and you're praying, it seemed like God was answering your everyday prayer the way you wanted him to. God answers every prayer.
Yeah.
Yes, no, wait. Not now. That's how he answers. But the times of me praying, now I got to, you know, like, it's not like that. You know, sometimes James says we ask, when we pray, we ask amiss. We don't pray in the will of God. What is, you know, and a lot of the will of God is in the word of God. So we have to mature, grow up, and seek God's faith. One of the things that, you know, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart.
Amen.
I heard this way.
Okay.
Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will teach your heart the things it should desire. Oops. That's kind of different. That's really kind of different. Again, ordering, the order, you know what I'm saying? It's in order now. Should I want that? Do I need that? Do I really need the Rolls Royce? Do I need the Ferrari? How about a closer walk with that? A closer walk with God.
That's the will. That's the will.
How about being humble? Ooh, there's the reality right there. How about to be more like Jesus? Ooh, that's really in his will right there. You're not asking him, Lord, I want to be more like you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness,
and all of these things will be added unto you. See, again, what do I want first? Do I want riches? Do I want Jesus? Do I want a holy lifestyle? Do I want the 17-bedroom mansion? So it's more to it.
I want
to
read the scripture to support that, Bishop.
Go ahead, Doc.
So the scripture that came to mind when you were speaking and we were talking about is Matthew 6, 25-34. When you're talking about understanding that God has the provisions that we need for that day, and we don't have to worry about anything other than right now. It says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you eat or drink, or about your body, what you wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the fields grow. They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, would he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So don't worry saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them.
Mm-hmm.
But seek first, this is what you were saying, his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So the point is that it's this is deep, y'all. Whatever we need, don't you understand that God has given us what we need for everything we're going to deal with today? Doesn't leave us hanging. Everything we're supplied it for right now. That's why don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. Let's deal with right now and today, because God has given us everything we need to be efficient and sufficient with today.
Yes. Amen.
So as we pray, as we see God's face, we remember that. So not everything we can think of, but what's needed right now. Because God is going to take care of the next moment, because we belong to the Lord. We really have a favorite spot. And until we start to realize whose we are, I am Abba's daughter of royal excellence.
Come on.
My God. My Abba's not going to leave me hanging.
Man.
And I don't know how many times I've prayed and been frustrated. Oh, I'm not worried about it. Is this going to happen? Why? Because that's what the enemy would have me do, to forget who I am, to get me to worry, to get me to doubt who God is. Because this is about building my relationship with God so I can count on God, so I can depend on God, so God knows that when stuff happens.
Yes.
When the rubber meets the road, I'm not asking, is God going to be there for me? I'm stating, God is there for me, and I will be all right.
Hallelujah.
Because I knew who I am and whose I am. There was a story a long time ago, you know, and I hope some of you can identify with this, but there was a slave who had been beaten by the slave master, actually by the overseer. And they had the slaves walking, and they usually walked with chains on and shuffling because they can't walk fast because of the chains on their feet as well. But this slave had been beaten many, many times, and yet he continued to hold his head up. And so the master was talking to the overseer and said, what is it with that one? How much we beat him, he continues to hold his head. And you know what the overseer said? He said, sir, he can't forget that he's a child of the king.
Come on.
He is a child of a king. He will not forget who he is. And when we remember who we are, come on, somebody.
Yes.
Walk with your head up high. Straighten your back. Remember whose you are and who you are. That's what our God wants when we come before him, understanding that we plead his wounds, his life, his death, his blood.
Hallelujah. That's who we are.
So with that said, Spurgeon reminds us that prayer is an art, and only the Holy Spirit can really teach us how to pray. He said there are three things that go together with this thing. One is a deep spirituality and understanding that when we're in this dialogue with the Lord, that this is real conversation with the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second piece is, he says, much distinctness is the reality of prayer, asking for what we want with fervency, believing that what we ask is necessary, resolving that we're going to obtain it. With, as Margaret said, complete submission, finally, with complete submission. So when we take these things together and we remember those basic things and we bring those to the table, you know, and we will get a double blessing, right? Because we've done that, because we remember that, because that's how we go to the table. Understanding that we are part of this argument that we bring before the Lord. Amen. So, I don't know about you guys, but to me, this has been a rich lesson.
Amen.
It's been a very, very rich lesson. And is there anything that anybody wants to say regarding what we've talked about tonight?
I believe that this is sobering in so many ways. There's so many different ways that people tell you how to pray, but this puts it back where it belongs. You know, we plead our case before God. We present our arguments before God. That's like you said earlier, Dr. Susie. That's why we're praying. But here's the blessed thing that we found out in previous chapters. While we are praying, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father praying with us and for us. So that's definite that, you know, your prayer is being heard. But it brings it back to where it needs to be, where, you know, we present our case, we present our cause, and there is an order. Yes, there is an order. That we come before the throne room of grace, that we may obtain mercy. So, sobering for me.
Amen. Bishop, would you prepare to give the invitation tonight? I'm going to say these last few things. Spurgeon encourages us to pray God's attributes. But if you don't know God's attributes, you can't pray God's attributes. And so that needs to be a part of what you study and learn as you're reading the Bible, God's attributes, so that you know them and you know what it is that God will accept and what God won't. He also says another important thing is understand the promises of God. The Bible is rich in telling us what God's promises are. So these are things we can specifically focus on in the future, God's attributes and God's promises, which are the things that he requires or he says that we need to be aware of. And then the next thing after understanding the attributes and the promises of God is to understand the names of God, the many names of God. Because what we can do is in the case when we're, for example, we're needing God for healing, then we ask God as Jehovah Rapha, the God Amen. Who, the one who heals. So when we know the different names of God, we can go to God requesting specifically the name because of what it is that we seek. So that's why it's important to understand the names of God. And then he says to understand the sorrow of God's people. He said, because then we can plead the sorrows of God's people to take all their griefs and distresses. And God then sees the suffering of his children, and that's really a positive part of moaning and pleading to God. The next thing he tells us to look at is the past. It's good to plead the past with God. He says, you experienced people of God, you know how to do this. And he says, David says, thou hast been my help. Okay, so what that means is we know that God is called hope, my heritage of previous experience. I know what you did for me in the past, Lord. You're not going to leave me. You're not going to forsake me. So we tell God, Lord, I know what you've done. I know how you've helped me. I know that you will. And I'm operating on the hope, my heritage of previous experience with you. Amen. Then we exalt him as the only true God, as the only true God. And he says, and we throw in or we dialogue as well and have a about the suffering of Jesus. That's why I mentioned earlier when I said we talk about how we're pleading the blood, how we're pleading what Christ has done for us. And all that comes back into the prayer. And then the last thing he says, our mouth is filled with praise. Our mouth is then filled with praise. So those are deep things to know, and they're important. And as I said, maybe what we can do is we can go back after we finish this study generally and start to focus on understanding those specific things so that we can have those under our belt as well. Amen, Bishop. Amen.
You've been listening, and you've been hearing us talk about prayer. And it's a vital, vital part of your Christian walk. And maybe you don't have that peace. And tonight we want to introduce you to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I come to you. I believe in my heart that you were raised from the dead. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. According to your word in Romans, that I'm saved. I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Therefore, I am born again. So thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you for receiving me into your family. Bless me and help me to grow in you. Precious Holy Spirit, fill this day forever, we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. That's it, my friend. If you prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God. All of the angels are rejoicing right now that you have come. So Dr. Susie is coming back to tell you, give you more information and instructions.
Amen. We're so excited that you joined us tonight, as we are here every Tuesday from 7 to 8:30-ish p.m. And we ask that you call in and join us, and that number would be 646-478-4932. If you have any qualms or you want to share with us that you accepted the Lord, please feel free to email us at drsusie.loveconnection@gmail.com, drsusie.loveconnection@gmail.com, and let us know that you accepted the Lord. We will celebrate with you. We'll do what we can to get you started on your journey. We do, as he said, encourage you to get involved in a Bible-believing church and to join us here at Your Place Love Connection every Tuesday for Bible study. God's blessings be with you. We look forward to seeing you next week, and bring someone else with you. Amen and amen. Good night, everybody.
Amen.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.